The snake was not merely biddable, it was enthralled. Voss shivered as Ventress's lips brushed his ear.
Now, use that power. Kill it!
Kill it. Kill Dooku. It was what he had been sent to do. What he must do. Voss took a deep breath, trying to drop deeper into his connection with the enraptured snake. He closed his fingers slowly, visualizing the snake in his hand, his forefinger and thumb in a circle beneath the creature's head, throttling. Ah! Searing pain shot through him as the snake bit deep. Voss jerked his hand back, and the snake, its will once again its own, slithered away with astonishing rapidity. He clutched the wrist of his bitten left hand with his right one, looking up at Ventress. Her face was harder than he had seen it in weeks. Her beautiful eyes once more as cold as ice chips.
You are not yet ready to face Dooku, but you will be.
It was not the response he had expected. He looked down at his hand, which was beginning to swell.
Poisonous?
Voss managed through gritted teeth. He knew the answer even as he spoke. The pain was increasing, and he felt as if he plunged his hand into boiling water. At the same time, he shivered. Voss realized he was going into shock.
The venom isn't lethal, but it has its uses.
Dizziness and nausea swept over Voss, and before he knew what had happened, he had dropped to his knees.
It has its uses. What did she mean by that? Wasn't she going to treat it?
Impossibly. The pain increased. He looked up at her. Her form was shifting, blurring, and her voice sounded hollow and distorted.
The pain will let you access your rage. Accept it as punishment for your failure.
As if her words had been instructions to the venom. Torment, exquisite in its intensity, spread through his body. It was as if his heart pumped liquid fire, not blood, and Voss could no longer bite back a howl of agony. He fell to the ground, its hard surface unforgiving, the rocks jutting into his skin, releasing fresh waves of pain so sharp he couldn't believe he was still conscious. He writhed, screaming. And Ventress stared down at him, her face a shifting mask of implacable aloofness. And that was a pain far worse than the venom.
Chapter 15.
Voss dreamed the dreams of the tortured. Nightmare after nightmare crested over him. Visions of shadows and slaughter and pain, both caused and received. Through them all danced Asajj Ventress. On her beautiful face, every expression he had beheld there, and some he had not. But the last dream was not of pain, but of ecstasy, of the tender brush of her fingers on his face, of her whispered words. The touch became cooler, still smooth but textured. Voss opened his eyes to discover a serpent twining about his body, its triangular head slithering beneath his chin. He yelped and sprang back, adrenaline surging through him. The snake, disinterested, slithered away, and Voss forced his breath to slow. The scalding agony was gone. In its place was sluggishness, as if he were swimming through mud. Mist hung low on the ground, obscuring his vision. Or was it the lingering effects of the snake's bite? No, he could feel moist air clinging damply to his skin. He became aware of a slight rustling behind him. Turning, he was greeted by the sight of yet another snake. This one was as thick as his arm, and 3 meters long. He got to his feet and stumbled away from it, moving far too slowly and with too much exertion. The snake was also averse to confrontation, and slithered off in search of its breakfast.
Time to test your Jedi training, my sweet.
Voss realized his lightsaber had been placed within easy reach. He had, of course, hidden it from Ventress during their early days together. But once on Dathomir, there had been no reason not to make use of it during their hunts. He was certain, though, that he had not had it on him last night.
Now he picked it up with clumsy fingers.
Ventress's voice seemed to come from everywhere. Voss's thinking was still torpid, and he looked around, trying to spot her, wondering what new lesson she had in store.
He heard the snap hiss of a lightsaber and awkwardly activated his own as she leapt on him from above.
Thanks to the lingering effects of the venom and simple disbelief, Voss registered that she was deadly serious, barely in time to step back and parry her strike. Ventress sprang adroitly over his head, and Voss turned, again nearly moving too slowly to prevent her from slicing him in half. Their blades clashed and sizzled, and she moved forward, her face mere centimeters from his. A cruel smile curved her full lips.
"Very good, Voss," she said almost mockingly. "At least you know how to fight back."
She executed a backward flip, landing in a crouch atop a large boulder.
"But can you finish the job?"
And with a quick leap, Ventress vanished into the fog. What was she talking about? They were partners. More than partners. Voss knew Ventress cared for him. He could feel it in her touch, sense it in the Force. As for what he felt, Her laughter, cold and cruel, chilled Voss more than the increasingly thick mist. He stepped forward, moving toward where he had last seen her, reaching out in the Force to try to locate her. His head was starting to clear, and irritation replaced confusion. Whatever she was doing, it wasn't necessary, and it was starting to make him angry. They were wasting time in a foolish... A second time, the hum of her lightsaber alerted Voss to Ventress's presence, and he again whirled to parry her attack from behind. Her beautiful face was contorted in a snarl, and she came at him full force. Ventress rained blows upon him, not holding back, pushing in for the kill. Unwilling to harm her, Voss took one step back, then another, concentrating on blocking her attack. The damp air muffled the sizzle of lightsabers clashing in deadly earnest. Still, Ventress pressed the attack. Something inside Voss snapped. A furious cry escaped his lips, and he moved onto the offensive. This time, it was she who was forced to give ground as he advanced on her, swinging his lightsaber so swiftly it was little more than a green blur. As she drew back to strike again, his hand shot forward and closed on her throat, his fingers digging into warm flesh, lifting her easily into the air and hurling her to the ground. Ventress hit hard, sprawling with an utter lack of her usual controlled grace. She coughed, one hand massaging her throat. Voss found himself standing over her, lightsaber raised for the next blow. But instead, a smile touched her lips.
"You see?"
she said, her voice rough, the faint shadows of a bruise already starting to form on her pale throat.
"Your anger has made you powerful."
He lowered the lightsaber and switched it off. The red rage that had colored his thoughts was fading. So it really had been a test, and nothing more. Voss frowned. He did not like being toyed with. But before he could say anything, Ventress had leapt to her feet and was again racing into the mist. What now? His lips pressed together in a tight line, and he pursued. This game had gone far enough. And a game it was. Over and over again, Ventress allowed him to glimpse her just long enough to keep her in sight. They leapt over fallen tree trunks, ducked beneath chunks of stone. Voss realized that Ventress's path was taking them to the mountain fortress. He recalled what she had said to him the first time they had beheld it together.
"You are not ready to go inside, but when you do, you had better make sure you come out."
He was ready. He knew it. He could take anything Ventress could throw at him.
Ventress raced into the open now, her slender, long legs bearing her easily across the stone to the gaping mouth of the cavern. She vanished into darkness. Voss ran behind her, slowing as he felt the cool fingers of a shadow caress him. He held his lightsaber before him and moved cautiously, reaching out into the force to try to sense her. Voss walked between the statuary pillars and emerged into an interior space of both darkness and beauty. When Ventress had said village, Voss had expected something small and primitive. But this cavern was gargantuan, and what it housed was vast and compelling in its scope and strange loveliness. Most of the illumination came from pools of water that glowed a soft, mesmeric shade of blue. Here and there, thin streams of water poured from above, their source so high as to be shrouded in darkness. The dim lighting revealed that, as with the exterior, those who had constructed this place had worked in tandem with nature. Here, in the village of Ventress's sisters, was no forced architecture. Nothing, at least at this first glance, that looked like it had ever been created in a factory. Towering stalagmites jutted from the cerulean pools, their peaks so high that they vanished into the darkness above. Into these natural formations had been carved doors, windows, stairways, and overlooks at several levels. Specks of what looked to be phosphorescent stone augmented the azure light. No doubt, once, there had been torches as well. Voss stepped forward into a wide open area of flat stone. Here and there he saw remnants of ordinary life. Overturned pitchers and vases, braziers, bowls. It would have been one of the most beautiful places Voss had ever beheld, if it had not been so steeped in the dark side. It was strong here, controlled, directed. At the far side of the open area, he saw an altar, and wondered what sorts of horrors it had borne witness to. Perhaps once, this had been no more than a cavern, a neutral place, eventually permeated by the energy left over from centuries of dark work. Or perhaps it had always dwelled on the edge of darkness. It didn't matter. All Voss understood was that Ventress knew the twists and turns of her village intimately. He was a stranger, and she was hunting him. He sensed her presence, but the location was muddied, difficult to pinpoint. Moving silently, Voss made his way to a smaller stalagmite and sprang out from behind it with a grunt, his lightsaber swinging. But Ventress wasn't there. She was behind him, screaming as she swung her glowing yellow blade. Voss was forced to dodge. Swift as a thought, Ventress raced past and whirled to face him.
"You are strong," she said,
and to his surprise, she stepped back and extinguished her lightsaber. Uncertain as to her intent, Voss hesitated.
"Don't worry, Quinlan. This part of the test is over."
He nodded and switched off his own lightsaber. "I can't say I'm sorry. What now?"
Ventress turned and looked out over the blue pools.
"A major component of Night Sister magics is a fluid that we call the Water of Life," she said.
"From the lakes?" Voss guessed.
"Not exactly. The Water of Life is harvested."
Voss's dark brows knit.
"I'm not following you."
"The depths of these pools have never been plumbed. All we know is that they are very deep indeed, and they are home to many creatures. There is one that the Night Sisters called the Sleeper. To fully be accepted as an adult, a young woman of my clan underwent a rite of passage. Using her force abilities, she would awaken the Sleeper, dominate it, and force it to remove a piece of its body."
"A trophy?"
Voss was repelled.
"No, an ingredient. That piece of the Sleeper is boiled with water from the pool and other items to create the water of life. I was told the sleeper was very strong-willed. To lose control over it, even for a moment, would mean the initiate's death.
Voss gazed out on the luminous water.
How often was the rite successful?
I never asked.
What's the catch? Simply controlling an animal, even a strong-willed one, is fairly easy for a Jedi.
It would be, if this creature were just an animal, and if you only needed to use the light side of the Force,
Ventress said.
Quinlan, it's the sleeper, not a sleeper. It's ancient. The stories about it go back to the earliest days of my clan. You can sense how strong the dark side is here. Everything, even the wildlife, has been touched by it in some way. The sleeper can only be awakened and controlled if someone thoroughly subjugates it with dark side power.
I see,
Voss said. He looked back over the water.
Well, let's get on with it.
She placed a hand on his arm.
Not yet. I know little enough about the sleeper, but I will share with you what I do know.
Ventress smiled a little.
Now you know why I wanted you to build up your endurance. Your next exercise will require swimming and holding your breath.
Chapter 16.
I do have an aquatic breather, but I'd recommend training both with and without it,
she told him as they ate that night.
The pools in the cavern are opaque, so your vision will be limited. You might also want a pair of goggles that will let you see beyond the visible spectrum.
Voss thought about it as he carved off a chunk of a small lizard turning on the spit, then shook his head.
No, that doesn't feel right. The whole point of this test, as I understand it, is for me to dominate it with my ability in the Force, not with technology.
Your ability wielding the dark side of the Force,
Ventress reminded him.
He nodded and bit into the chunk of mild-tasting flesh. So what else can you tell me?
Ventress looked frustrated.
Less than I'd like. I know it's large, terrifying to look at, and physically powerful. And as I've said, its will is impressive.
You mentioned swimming and holding my breath, Voss said. I take it I'll be fighting it underwater?
Ideally, no,
Ventress replied.
The sleeper can be lured onto land, and of course you'd have the advantage there, but you need to be prepared for anything.
So, what does this thing look like?
Voss asked. He forced himself to eat more than usual. He would shortly be burning thousands of calories a day in training.
It varies from person to person,
she said.
Karis claimed it was the same hue as the water. Luce said it was pure white. Talia told me the sleeper had enormous eyes and pincers. Naleth said no, it had tentacles. The one thing everyone agrees on is that they were terrified. It seems if you don't control it quickly and get dragged into the water, presumably by pincers or tentacles, you risk coming into contact with the substance you're trying to harvest. That can cause hallucinations.
She looked down.
Talia watched her twin simply freeze. She was paralyzed with fear. The sleeper dragged her down with it.
Hey,
Voss said, reaching out to squeeze her shoulder.
I have a lot of respect for the Night Sisters and their Force abilities. But I'm not a youngling. I'm an adult with the skills and training of a Jedi Master.
And, he added, hoping to lighten her mood,
I've got the best coach in the universe, who has a vested interest in seeing I survive.
Ventress looked at him, her eyes searching his. She reached to touch his face, her fingers stroking his lips. He shivered and bit down gently. Chuckling softly, she pulled her hand away and tapped him on the nose.
Don't forget that, idiot.
Never, he said, and kissed her.
Dathomir was not without its oceans, and Voss soon grew intimately familiar with them. They began with simple submersion. Voss's Jedi training gave him excellent control over both his mind and his body, which would be the key to his success. If he stayed calm throughout, his heart rate would remain slow, and his body would not burn more oxygen than was absolutely necessary. Well aware that if he didn't establish and keep control over the sleeper at the outset, he would certainly be involved in combat, he practiced fighting creatures underwater as well.
"Your training is coming along well," Ventress said one evening, as they ate stew prepared with a burrowfish Voss had killed that day.
"I'm glad you think so," he said.
He hesitated, then asked,
"What about after?"
She eyed him as she helped herself to more stew.
"What about after?
When we've killed Dooku?"
Ventress looked back to the pot of stew bubbling cheerfully on the fire. She lowered her head so he couldn't see her face in the flickering light. She had no desire to think about what would happen afterward. This time together was precious and forbidden. The Jedi would never accept one of their own with a companion, let alone one who was a former Sith. When Dooku died, so would their connection. Voss would leave her, and she would be alone. Again. But she understood that. Ventress knew how to be alone, and she had always known that even this brief time with Voss was a gift. She kept her tone conversational.
"It will be hard for you to go back to the Jedi, but it's possible. Asajj..."
She stilled. Voss took her bowl, set it aside, and gathered her hands in his. He looked at her strong fingers, her calloused, scarred palms, then pressed his lips to each one in turn.
"I don't want to go back," he stated.
Ventress closed her eyes, scarcely daring to believe the words.
"I want to be with you."
Now she did risk a look at him. His face shone with intensity, his warm eyes catching the firelight above the yellow stripe that adorned his features.
"I can't walk away from this, and I don't want to.
Do you?" For a moment, Ventress couldn't speak.
"No,"
she managed.
"I don't want to either. But Quinlan, be sure. It's all you've ever known."
"I know you now,"
Voss replied, squeezing her hands for emphasis.
"And if being Jedi means I can't be with you,
I also know what I choose."
He released her hands and unbuckled his bracer, placing it on the ground. She watched, a brow arched in confusion. He found a rock, tossed it in the air, and caught it. Voss looked at her solemnly.
"It starts now."
And he brought the stone smashing down on the holocom button, severing contact with the Jedi for now and
forever.
Could he really do so? Ventress stared at the broken piece of equipment, then lifted her gaze to his. Voss smiled at her, fully, freely. No shadow of regret lay upon him, only a calm certainty. An emotion surged through Ventress that was so alien she almost didn't recognize it as joy. The name of another feeling, richer and deeper, hovered unspoken between them, danced on her lips, perhaps on his as well. They had a bond, real and vibrant and strong, that seemed to her to be unbreakable.
"Together,"
he said, emotion making his voice husky. Ventress didn't trust herself to speak. She showed him instead, pulling him toward her and kissing him passionately. Voss responded at once, returning the kiss with a fierceness that heightened her desire. Every sense was alert, expectant, and every touch had the intensity of something more than physical. He got to his feet, taking her with him, kissed her hard, and then swung her up in his arms and strode toward the ship. A small blinking red light appeared in the darkness. Ventress closed her eyes and growled. Toss laughed ruefully, his warm breath stirring her hair as he kissed the top of her head and set her down.
You should get that.
The timing could have been better,
Ventress said, and pulled out her holocom. A small figure appeared, squat and wrinkled. It jabbered excitedly. Ventress felt a lurch in her gut.
So soon?
Her gaze flickered to Voss, who raised an eyebrow in curiosity. Apparently, Gossim was not a language he understood.
I see,
Ventress said to the holographic image.
You have done well, Sumdin. And the location of this gathering?
Sumdin lifted a graceless three-fingered hand and operated something Ventress couldn't see. In the Gossim's place now swirled the hologram of a pleasant-looking green and blue planet. And then Voss understood.
You found Dooku!
Ventress gazed at the tiny world for a moment longer, then deactivated the holocom.
He'll be on Raxus. I know the day and time.
Voss grimaced slightly.
His home turf.
Raxus was the capital of the Confederacy of Independent Systems. Security was bound to be excessive.
But if you found him, we've got to go.
Ventress didn't reply. His brow knit in confusion.
Well?
Quinlan, I'm concerned that you're not ready. You've barely begun to explore the dark side, let alone master the ability to walk the knife's edge. You've not called the sleeper, and if you can't do that, if we leave now, you could be in jeopardy.
He gave her a lopsided smile.
More than I am already.
More than you can possibly realize.
I understand your concern, but we can't afford to miss this opportunity.
Ventress didn't reply at once. She had expected to have more time. More time for Voss to train, to master the mercurial and untrustworthy nature of the dark side. More time for them to be together before they faced an unspeakably dangerous foe. And more time for her to gather her courage and tell him the truth about his master.
But she couldn't. Not at this juncture. She would tell him afterward, when they had slain Dooku and truly left their pasts behind. When they were together, and things were calmer. Even if he did understand and forgive her, it would be a shock to him, at least at first. To succeed in their mission, she needed Quinlan Voss at his best and most focused.
And the personalized hatred she had falsely instilled in him toward the Count could only help. Also, he was right. There was no telling when they would get a second chance. The Count was slippery as a Mon Calamari eel. He placed his hands on her shoulders and gazed down at her.
Massage, I admit it. The dark side has made me powerful. You've opened my eyes to so many things, but it hasn't hurt me. All it's done is make me believe we can succeed.
Ventress smiled sadly.
That's the danger.
He sighed.
Let me prove it to you. I know I'm ready to call the sleeper and defeat it.
Ventress did not share his confidence. It wasn't his ability to use the Force that was in question. It was his ability to use only the dark side of it.
Voss was a good man.
She was worried that even now, he might still be too good. She closed her eyes and took a breath.
All right,
she said.
Let's go.
Chapter 17.
The two were silent as they made their way to the caverns. Voss felt the caress of the dark side as they entered the open area, and his thoughts were myriad and chaotic. Ventress paused as they approached the blue water of one of the cavern lakes.
What is it?
Voss asked. They stood near an artificial pool that had been created on the open, flat-stoned area near the altar. Its water was neither clear nor blue, but a rich, inky black.
Ventress pressed her lips together.
This was where I truly left being a Sith behind. where I became a night sister. I was too old and experienced to call the sleeper, so my initiation was somewhat different.
What happened?
She looked up at him, and there was a hint of peace along with pain on her features.
I was reborn. I went into the waters a Sith and emerged a night sister.
By using magics?
Some, but mostly by choosing to leave it behind and being willing to accept the love of my sisters.
Voss touched her cheek gently.
You never cease to amaze me.
Well,
she said, attempting lightness,
this time you get to amaze me.
He squared his shoulders. Right. So the sooner this is over with, the sooner we get to go after the Count. And once that's done...
He kissed her forehead lightly, then stepped back. He held out his lightsaber to her, and she took it. The Night Sisters had no weapons when they faced the sleeper. Neither would Voss. This was a battle of the mind.
Take care of this for, the next few minutes, because I'm going to want it back.
Don't worry. It'll be waiting for you. I promise.
He nodded, then turned and stepped toward the edge of the pool.
Quinlan,
she called. He turned to look at her.
Don't rush this. Make sure you're ready when you call it.
Voss nodded. He had not asked Ventress if she would aid him if he got in trouble, and she had not volunteered. He wasn't sure he wanted to know the answer, and he had no plans to find out.
He began with adjusting his breathing. Slow, deep, and rhythmic.
Voss felt oxygen saturating his blood and being pumped through his heart, gaining the control that Ventress had assured him was vital to his victory over this mysterious and apparently horrifying sleeper. He opened to the darkness, felt it almost physically curling around him. Voss inserted the aquata breather into his mouth and reached out with his mind. There were many life forms in this water, from tiny single-celled organisms to moderately sized fish and crustaceans. They were simple, uncomplicated, and he brushed their consciousnesses gently and continued searching. Down his mind went, into the depths of the blue, murk waters. Some things hid in caverns, some swam freely. But Voss sensed one life form that was more complex than the rest. More complex, and very old. Ancient. It dreamed. Voss understood as he brushed it with the force that it had been dreaming for some time, undisturbed. He wanted to send it calmness and peace and let it rest, but he could not. Voss steeled himself, and still, willing his body to remain calm, allowed his mind to gradually open to the sleeper. He felt it stir unhappily, resisting him with surprising strength even in this state.
Awaken.
It would not. Voss lifted a hand and spread his fingers, calling out to the unseen beast.
Awaken!
He demanded, and the sleeper's consciousness snapped into full presence. It was not sullen or sluggish, but alert and focused. And that focus was on Voss. Voss grunted slightly with the effort, knowing that he could not lose the upper hand even for a moment. He harnessed his concern and twisted it into anger and resentment.
Rise! I will have it so!
And it did. He felt this impossibly old creature stir from its cavern, where it had rested and dreamed dreams unimaginable, and slowly, balefully move upward. A bubble rose to the surface of the thick blue water, popping with a sludgy, wet noise. A second bubble followed, then another. Two huge lavender eyes, each the size of Voss's head, emerged from the water. They swiveled on narrow stalks, seeming to look in every direction at once, then locked onto Voss, standing at the edge of the pool. A wave of resentment that was so powerful, it was almost physical, buffeted Voss. He didn't hesitate. He harnessed the hatred and hurled it right back at the sleeper, who shuddered.
I said, rise, all the way. Obey me and come on to the land.
For a terrible instant, Voss was certain he had failed. The sleeper did not move.
Then, slowly, fighting his command all the way, it did. It reared up and up,
7 meters long if it was a centimeter, revealing a long, carapace-covered body, quivering antennae, and 4 appendages. The first pair appeared to be sickles as long as it was, tapering to spear-like points.
The other limbs were narrow where they attached to its body, expanding into large clubs at the end.
This set of legs, the sleeper kept tightly curled. Voss noted all this in a heartbeat, but what astounded him most was how beautiful it was. Its limbs and eyes must have seemed ghastly to a child who had never ventured beyond her own world. But Voss had seen more frightening things. No. It was the kaleidoscope of colors that made the sleeper so visibly remarkable. Every hue Voss could dream, or have nightmares of, adorned it. He had known other species to have eyes similar to the sleeper's, which could see 5 or 10 more colors than he could. But the sleeper's eyes were even more complex, and Voss briefly wondered if this creature was so difficult to subdue because it might be able to actually see the Force. It was an effort to keep his attention focused, but Voss managed. His anger hot, but his body calm, Voss stepped backward, not knowing how much room the thing would take up once it had clambered onto land. Just as it reached the place where he had stood a moment ago, its sickle legs shot out with astonishing speed, impaled themselves into the surface so hard the stone cracked, and heaved its bulk onto land. Voss had assumed the creature was a sort of crustacean, but once it was wholly out of the water, he realized that its lower appendages were not legs, but tentacles, long and shiny, and every shade of blue that the eponymous protocol droid from Sheb's black market shop had known, and probably more. So astonished was he that for just a moment, Voss felt his control waver. The sleeper felt it too, and gathered itself for an attack. Immediately, Voss lifted both his hands and force-shoved it so it slid along the rocky surface, smashing into braziers and pottery. Hatred, cold and pure, wrapped around Voss, and he met it.
You will obey!
It fought him for a moment, its massive body rocking back and forth, tentacles and legs flailing.
Stop!
The cold hatred brightened with a sharp sensation of pain. Voss's will was hurting the beast. He strengthened his power in the Force, cruel and harsh, and the creature subsided. It tucked its limbs in close to its body, and its tentacles ceased wriggling. Voss took a deep breath, but didn't lessen his intense control. He'd done it, and he hadn't even needed the aquata breather. He pulled it out so he could speak.
Ventress!
He called out, not taking his eyes from the enormous, almost pixelated ones of the sleeper.
I don't need to make it cut off a limb, do I?
No.
Her voice was strangely heavy with regret.
Voss, listen to me, but don't let your attention waver.
He felt a flicker of unease. The creature's tentacles undulated, sensing it, waiting to exploit any crack in his will.
Okay, I'm listening.
You have to kill it.
Voss's shock lasted only a fraction of a second, but it was enough. With a blast of triumphant loathing, one of the sleeper's tentacles whipped around Voss. Together they tumbled beneath the pool's surface. Voss's face struck the water hard, and his aquata breather flew from his hand. The tentacle's pressure against his chest compressed his ribs, forcing him to expel air in a rush of bubbles that meant life.
His empty lungs clamored for breath, and his internal organs felt like they were being slowly squeezed to pulp. One arm was trapped, immobilized at his side. He could barely see in the milky blue depths, and panic made his heart race. Through sheer will, Voss slowed its beating as he had practiced. Abruptly, he was hauled through the water again to come to a stop less than a meter away from the sleeper's face. Two flat teardrop-shaped scales beneath its eyes turned from sickly green to a pulsing, angry red. Voss realized that the change signaled an imminent attack. Without thinking, only trusting completely in the force, he shoved his free hand toward the second set of club-like legs with enough power that the trajectory of the blow was altered. The strike was faster than he could see. Suddenly, the water around Voss was boiling from the intensity of the shockwave, clouding the blue water with black liquid and ragged chunks of the sleeper's own tentacles. The spots that had been red before now were the color of an angry bruise. It had struck itself, not Voss, with pulverizing force. An ear-splitting rumble of pain assaulted Voss's ears. He fought to keep from wasting his rapidly dwindling supply of air in his own agonized cry as the bubbling, boiling water scalded his flesh. Taking advantage of the sleeper's distraction, Voss used the force to propel himself upward, gasping for air as his head broke the surface and he struck out for the safety of land. Pain shot through him. The sleeper had struck him a glancing blow with one of its razor-sharp sickles, and he could feel it growing maddened from the sudden flow of his blood in the water. He sensed another tentacle reaching for him and whirled, force-grabbing the appendage and squeezing it tight. Again, the sleeper rumbled in pain, its focus on him broken. Voss used the seconds of respite to clamber onto the stone, then turned and seized the creature in the force. He closed his eyes and directed a command with every bit of strength he had, and the sleeper grew still. It was no longer angry or bloodthirsty or filled with hatred. The sleeper was terrified. Voss drew in great, ragged gulps of air, his body straining with tension. He heard Ventress's voice shouting at him, "What are you waiting for? Kill it, Voss!" And yet even now, after the battle, he hesitated. The sleeper had no evil in it. It was a simple creature, innocent of knowing wrong from right. It only wanted to be left undisturbed, and when threatened, it had protected itself. What would this unnecessary killing prove? "Ventress!" he called, still controlling the sleeper. "It may be the last of its kind!"
"Yes, and if it dies, a great secret of my clan dies with it. That doesn't matter! We both have to make a sacrifice. You have to do this!"
"It's obeyed me twice! Why do I need to kill it?"
"Because you were sent to kill Dooku, in cold blood if you have to. If you can't use the dark side to kill now, can you do so later, when it truly matters? Or will you let your Jedi compassion destroy everything?"
Tears stung his eyes. Tears, as she had just accused, of compassion. Voss desperately wanted to send the sleeper back to its peaceful burrow, to let it rest and heal from its wounds. Ventress would be disappointed and angry, but he would find another way to convince her that they could kill Dooku without him going to the dark side. It gave him power, true, but at what cost? But in his heart, he understood the distinction Ventress had made. The Jedi had fought Dooku before, and the possibility had always existed that the Count could be slain in such a struggle. What Voss had been ordered to do wasn't just killing. It was assassination. It was murder. And now, Ventress wished him to snuff out the life of a simple beast that didn't have to die. The moment stretched, taut, each passing second draining Voss further. He could delay no longer. He made his choice. He focused on his earlier fear, the helplessness he had felt, and his anger at it. He narrowed his eyes, calling up the hatred and rage, feeling them burst into him, white hot and so very powerful. This was an enemy. This was Count Dooku. Voss extended his hand, slowly, deliberately, taking the time to truly experience the emotions as they translated from thought to action. Die! The sleeper's head snapped back. Puzzlement flowed through it. Then cold, primal, simple fear. So pure, so strong, so liberating. Voss lifted the sleeper from the water, continuing to manifest his emotions into a force energy while simultaneously suffocating it. It suffered as it died. Voss cleared his mind of everything but this moment. As it writhed in agony, its powerful punches and spear-like limbs striking only air. With a final spasm, the great beast crumbled. Voss released it. It splashed into the water, sinking for a moment, then floated partially submerged. Voss stared at it. His body was tingling. His heart raced, but not with fear, with exaltation. So engrossed was he in the sensation of unleashing such power that he didn't hear Ventress approach until her voice said, right beside him, "Quinlan." He whirled, his hand raised for an instant, before his mind cleared, and he let his arm fall. Alarmed at his reaction and reeling from what he'd just done, Ventress appeared to understand, looking at him with pride and not a little awe.
"Quinlan," she went on, laying a hand on his arm, "I know that was difficult for you, but it was necessary. You've come so far in such a short time. I'm impressed."
Words crowded his mouth, but he spoke none of them. Not about the sharp delight he had taken in brutally asphyxiating an innocent creature. Not about the desire to do it again, and to harness that power and unleash it any way he chose. He couldn't speak either of the wrenching sadness that permeated him as he realized that something in him had broken, or the delight at having been freed of its shackles. He didn't need to. He could sense Ventress, proud and pleased, her desire for him only the stronger for the ordeal through which she had put him. She knew what he was feeling. So Voss said just,
"The Jedi have always taught that the dark side is a quick and easy path.
You must be cautious how far down that quick and easy path you go,"
she warned.
"Now that you have tapped into it, it can consume you. It is a delicate balance to strike, being free enough to feed from it, but remaining your own master."
"Like you did."
"I fought my way back. I almost didn't make it."
Her eyes grew sad, and she slipped into his arms.
"I regret that this is a path you must tread, but it must be done if we are to defeat Dooku."
Voss stroked her short, pale blonde hair. The recollection of his actions unnerved him, and her words were sobering. He stepped back, his hands on her shoulders, and looked her in the eye.
"Dooku is strong, but we will be stronger."
He caressed her cheek.
"Together."
Her face softened into a smile that had nothing of the darkness about it, an expression that Voss knew few had ever been permitted to glimpse.
"Together,"
she agreed, and kissed him.
Chapter 18.
Voss was late, again. Kenobi settled in to wait at the bar on level 1313. One of these days, he mused, Voss would show up on time. Kenobi wondered if his heart could bear the shock. The minutes ticked by. Still no Voss. When 2 hours had crawled past, and Kenobi had been forced to consume more alcohol than he had really desired,
and what passed for a meal to go along with it, he finally gave up. He activated his comlink.
Master Obi-Wan, to hear from you, surprised I am.
Master Yoda, I am troubled by something, and I wish to speak privately with you.
To the temple return, and speak we shall.
When Kenobi entered Yoda's quarters, he found the Jedi Master sitting in meditation next to a small fountain designed with crystals known as singing stones. They emitted soft sounds, something between a chime and a stringed instrument, as water flowed over them. Kenobi usually found the resulting music deeply soothing, as was the scent of special oils heated over small flames. But today, even their influence did not dispel his sense of worry. Yoda did not open his eyes.
Welcome you are, Obi-Wan. Across from me, please sit.
Kenobi obeyed, and managed to calm his thoughts at least somewhat. A few moments later, Yoda spoke again.
Cloud your heart, this concern does. Speak of it, you will.
Obi-Wan bit his lip. Master Vos did not show up for our appointed meeting. I fear that something has happened.
Sense something in the Force, do you? A vision you have had?
Obi-Wan shook his head. No. But there was something off about him the last time we met. He was guarded. I could sense it. Although he behaved like his usual self. And he used words that... He paused, searching. At the time, I simply thought that the challenge of the mission was starting to wear on him. But in retrospect, Master Yoda, he may have placed too much trust in Ventress. She may have discovered who he really is. Yoda's ears curled in slight surprise.
Gone on many undercover missions, Quinlan Vos has. Carefree he is, but careless he is not. Possible it is that attached he has grown. Always a risk there is.
Vos? He never has before.
When one trusts another with his life, forged a bond is. In this position, neither Vos nor Ventress has been.
He did say they were working well as a team.
And I have always known that Ventress lets us see just what she wishes us to. She's a complex individual. I can only imagine what it must be like to be in such constant contact with her as Vos has been.
And now, contact him you cannot.
Kenobi nodded.
I probably should have come to you the moment I had concerns, or else just voiced them to Vos. But it seems so ludicrous to be worried about word choices and a vague sense of unease. Vos isn't a Padawan, he's a master. He didn't deserve to have suspicion fall on him for such trivial things.
More to say you have, but not on this subject.
Kenobi frowned, then nodded. Yes. I had misgivings from the beginning about this entire enterprise. I still believe that sending a Jedi to assassinate a man was wrong. And I fear that I will likely lose not only a fellow Jedi master, but someone I consider a friend. And we will have nothing to show for such a loss.
Yoda rose, picked up his cane, and went to his friend. Gently, he laid a small hand on Obi-Wan's shoulder.
Disagree with you, I do not. But now, in motion things are, and stopped they cannot be. All must proceed as the Force wills it. Sometimes it is a dark path we must tread, so that long more for the light we shall.
Kenobi placed his own hand over Yoda's. He did not ask if it was Vos or the Jedi Order that was treading the dark path, because in his heart, he didn't want to know the answer. May the Force be with him, was all he said.
Here we go.
Ventress hit the controls, and the Banshee dropped out of hyperspace.
Keep your eye on the comm channels.
On it, Vos replied. I hope some Din's clearance code is accurate, or this could get very interesting very quickly.
It will be. Sumdin is thorough. Transmitting now.
Ventress angled the vessel to merge smoothly with a moderately heavy flow of space traffic heading toward Raxus. Up ahead was the checkpoint, a blockade of massive vessels. Boss kept his eyes on the comm channel as they passed close by one of the enormous ships.
"We're cleared," he said.
"One potential disaster averted.
All we need to do now is get into the event, find Dooku, and kill him. Piece of cake."
He rose from his seat behind her and leaned against her chair.
"One more thing to do before all of that," Ventress said. "We need to make a quick stop in Tamwith Bay."
"Tamwith Bay? I thought Dooku's party was being held in Raxilon."
"It is. We have to purchase clothing first," Ventress said. "Tamwith Bay is still a major city, but it's quite a distance from Raxilon. There will be less security."
"I wouldn't have pegged you for the shopping type."
She leaned out of her chair to give him a withering look.
"Were you planning on just walking into a 20,000 credit a plate gala event looking like this?"
Boss whistled.
"That much? Hope we have time for dinner. Just don't ask for my opinion on footwear."
"Don't worry. You have the fashion sense of a Wookiee."
Voss glanced down at the well-worn leather outfit he'd worn since forever. Whenever he wasn't in his Jedi robes, this was what he reached for. It offered decent protection. He could move freely in it, and it didn't draw undue attention.
In his usual circles, at least. "But black goes with everything."
Ventress snorted.
"Leave it to me."
She took them to an establishment that catered to the sort of people who would be attending the ludicrously priced gala. In short order, Voss was fitted with black trousers, comfortable leather boots, and a white tunic with bold golden stripes.
"The contrast with your skin coloring is most striking,"
the tailor assured Voss, finally letting him see himself in the mirror. His dark skin seemed to glow against the hues of the tunic. Its crisp, tailored line and the knife-sharp creases of the trousers accentuated his long legs, broad shoulders, and narrow waist.
"Huh,"
he said.
"Not bad."
"Agreed," said Ventress.
She eyed him in a manner that made his heart skip a beat, and he grinned at her.
"Well, if my lady likes it, I'll take it."
To Ventress, he said,
"What about you?"
She held up a bag.
"I already found something while you were getting the trousers fitted. Let's go."
"Let me see."
"We don't have time for dolly dress-up,"
she retorted, and Voss knew better than to argue. The flight from Tamwith Bay to Raxilon was quick. Voss didn't even have time to get his new outfit dirty. As the sun set over the beautiful capital city of Raxus, casting warm rose and lilac hues on the tall spires, Ventress vectored them into dock, not at the main port, but at a smaller, lesser-used one. It was efficient enough. The droids that rolled up to begin refueling and cleaning the Banshee looked like fairly new models, and the place was clean. It was, however, obviously a local landing pad, not one meant for the rich, famous, and powerful. And Ventress and Voss were the only ones currently making use of it. Voss stepped outside and took a careful look around, just to make sure. A few moments later, he heard the clack-clack of heels. He turned around.
"So, let's see this..."
He fell into a stunned silence. Voss thought he had seen Asajj Ventress in all her guises. He'd seen the efficient warrior, the cold rager, the temptress practicing both the wink and the nod and the full-on gambit. And most beautiful and most amazing of all, he'd seen her by starlight. Just her, lying in his arms. But this was something else again. She wore a two-piece, sleeveless bodice of rich, ebony-hued fabric, with hints of a subtle swirling pattern of dark purple embroidery. Lacing of the same deep purple cinched it closed. The top section enclosed her breasts and revealed a small patch of her taut stomach. The bottom section flared over her hips, A midnight black skirt, slit in front and back, fell to the floor. She had just finished